Catholic Church. It's a church, of the Holy Smoke.
Or spelled, capitals, Church of the Holy Smoke. The Coths.
The Coths. Or the Catholic
Church.
We
think if you join, you're a Catholic.
Yeah, you'd be Catholic.
It's one of the many ideas we had driving through the plains of Coonabarra Brown.
It's a good thing it's not the Glee Club of the Holy Smoke, because there would be the Goths, and we'd really... I like the sun.
The Coths I like. Anyway, it was so off-putting, the whole political, surreal, alienated from the earth, nothing to do with the earth, forgotten they're on the earth, political
nothing
process.
Nothing to do with human beings.
Nothing to do with being human. We decided, enough of that, we're going to be religious.
Yeah.
We're home to be religious.
Yeah. Fuck
okay, so fuck all everything else, just get the church together.
So there's going to be, we're going to get two new books, Church of the Holy Smoke. We need 5,000 members. We'll put one in the hemp bar and one in the hemp embassy. And please, everyone join.
And
if you think the laws need changing.
We need a pope.
Okay, yeah.
We need a Catholic pope.
A Catholic pope, oh dear.
And there's been a nomination.
Who?
Rock.
You?
No, well, I don't know.
Peter the Rock is a nomination, clearly from Le French. And I fully respect, I'll second that nomination.
Yeah.
I think he's a beautiful pope,
we
but the goddess here
I see
wants
black
a
smoke.
Girl.
I see black smoke up the chimney for Rock, I don't know. I just see black smoke. What do you see, goddess?
I see black smoke.
Yeah.
I think we need a female pope.
Yeah, I think so too.
I would love a female pope.
I think we really need
you two can swap roles.
Was it Pope Clementine that was supposed to be the woman? Was that who it was, or Pope Beneficent, or
they
one of those?
Let a woman
there was, there was a woman that masqueraded as a man and became pope. And
this is all scuttlebutt and hearsay.
It is not scuttlebutt and hearsay.
Was I?
Who infiltrated the male?
No, this is way back.
Bullying.
There was a female pope.
That's right.
You see, the goddess knows all about it.
I am the immortal one.
Catholic Church certainly needs a figurehead.
A figurehead, yeah, exactly.
Here on earth.
And if you girls don't want this goddess, then let's find someone else, please.
Yeah. Let's find a lady pope.
What do you mean? Are you trying to unsay? I'll look at
it. It's just a message to some of the listeners out there who have been quietly telling me they wouldn't mind you changing sexes. These are the people who've written to Kerry.
The very word from Kerry was take matters into your own hands. Yeah, you know where it is.
And I think she was sending a scalpel with each letter.
You know where it lives.
I love pressure.
We've noticed that. Your excitement.
Hey, speaking of pressure, you know how at Mardi Gras we had the pressure of the Sydney riot squad, complete with the equestrian section.
Crowd control and riot squad.
I was thinking equestrian events in future Mardi Gras could be a lot of fun out in the ovals. We could think of some great things, the mounted police and robber run and whatever.
I don't want a whole lot of stuff.
Anyway, forget that.
Do you know, Bob, you're away?
Hang on for a second. Where I was getting, and just before we get me off this track, how they used the excuse of Cronulla, Macquarie Fields, and
Nimbin's the next one.
Nimbin's the next one. Okay, so they've...
Thomas George.
So funnily enough, they've done a reverse psychology trip on the analogy and it's worked for them.
Cronulla's got no one on the beach.
What they figured is if Nimbin's like Cronulla and Macquarie Fields, then I wonder if Macquarie Fields and Cronulla are like Nimbin. So they did a big raid in Macquarie Fields and they got $2 million worth of cannabis from five houses, found 3 kilograms of pure amphetamine, a shotgun, a whole heap of stuff as they cruised through Macquarie Fields. They said, hey, look at that, Macquarie Fields is just like Nimbin.
This is after they went, they didn't say that. They did not say that.
They did say
that. This is after they went back from Nimbin with a few little cautions.
I look speaking.
There was no, we went to, on the way to Canberra, we went to the courthouse on Monday.
How was that?
It was, thank you, very sorry we were late to the people who were there waiting on motorbikes and things.
Okay, now, what happened?
But, we were held up by the Nimbinji trailer and coordinated efforts, if you don't mind. Anyway.
So what we're talking about here is attending the court cases for all those people who were busted at Mardi Gras.
There are apparently
how many?
90 busts at Mardi Gras. There are about 20 people appearing there. And I went in for one young person's case.
Yep.
She got a year's bond. That was
That was it. So was that pretty average?
I don't think you're allowed to talk about underage people's court cases.
Okay.
Because it was a closed court.
Okay,
Anyway, there were no big busts that I heard of at all at Mardi Gras.
No, there weren't.
That's the point.
There weren't.
And the Telegraph, making a thing that Nimbin's Mardi Gras has turned into a drug user's nightmare.
It was a nightmare.
And
you couldn't
inferred
find
that all the
busts sit out and have a joint.
Excuse me. All inferred all the busts were amphetamines, were ice, which is just was so misleading. And anyway, I tried to get an answer from them, the cops, and haven't got one.
We don't know
who busted.
They don't care.
Hey, of course they don't care.
Just doing their job.
I mean, here's a little story about doing a job, and we're talking Hemp Olympics here in lots of different ways. Waratah's winger, Wendell Whaler, is not the only athlete to have been caught taking prohibited substances. He got caught with coke in his system. You heard about that, didn't you?
How long does coke take to get out of your system?
A 2-year ban, I think.
No.
I don't know. I don't know. The Australian Sports Anti-Doping. You have to be a dope to take it right before a test. And that's what they're there for. The anti-doping authorities there to weed out the dopes out of sporting.
He probably took something else and there was coke in it and he didn't know the coke.
Whatever. The Australian Sports Anti-Doping Authority announced yesterday that another 6 athletes had tested positive from a total of 1,250 drug tests. Bodybuilder Debbie Thompson was banned for life for testing positive a second time to the anabolic steroid stanozolol.
Second time.
3 weightlifters, Camilla Fogonogolo, Corin Hocking and Sergio Shakhoyan, all tested positive to the stimulant benzylpiperazine. I don't even know that one.
Yeah, they're banned too.
Yeah, yeah. There were also 2 positive tests to cannabis by a basketballer and a baseballer. Their names have not been released pending finalisation of the appeals process. ASADA, that's the Australian Sports Anti-Doping Authority, also named athletes whose appeals had been completed from previous quarterly results. Included were motorcyclist Mark Mamarella, 2 years ban for cannabis. Bodybuilder Storm DeSmith, a warning and a fine for cannabis. Boxer Anthony Little, warning and a reprimand for cannabis. And Paralympian Robert Trinder, 3 months ban for cannabis.
Right.
Boom, boom. Hemp Olympics.
Blood test. Keep staying in your blood for so long.
They'd all be champions at our Hemp Olympics, wouldn't they?
Maybe.
This is a little bit that I like, though. I don't know if you guys were aware. Do you remember when those 2 cops got shot at by that gangster? A guy called Michael Canaan.
He
was off to kill a drug dealer, yeah. You remember that? And the cops got shot at and he got found guilty of attempted murder. And then he appealed and they said they couldn't prove that he was trying to murder him.
They pinned him for a few minutes.
And then he got off and then they appealed the appeal and how it goes. It's the bit at the end that I find fascinating. Well, just work through it quickly.
Yeah.
Okay, so in the scheme of things, 12 years imprisonment for a shootout with 2 policemen at the White City Tennis Complex, in which 1 officer was wounded, meant nothing to Michael Canaan, the 31-year-old confessed King's Cross drug dealer and gangster, who stood unflinching and silent in the dock of Darlinghurst Supreme Court yesterday, is already serving 3 consecutive life sentences for murder. For police, yesterday's sentence was a victory. I mean, how do you get a victory when you've got 3 consecutive lifers up on him already? Anyway, it was a victory, marking the 4th time Canaan had stood trial for a charge of attempted murder of the 2 officers who had chased him and 3 other men in a speeding car through Paddington on December the 23rd, 1998.
Separate incident.
Yes. Constables Chris Patrick and John Fotopoulos did not know Canaan and his accomplices had pistols and were intent on murdering another King's Cross drug dealer known as Tong and Sam. No relation to French Sam. Although, hey, was Tom a French?
Ooh.
Nah. Let's just not go there. Not go there at all. Okay. On Monday, after a retrial of almost 4 weeks, he was found guilty of maliciously shooting at both officers with the intention of causing grievous bodily harm in a gun battle in which Constable Patrick was wounded twice and Canaan was shot 7 times in the legs and body. Here comes a good bit. Justice Megan Latham, sentencing Canaan to 12 years and a non-parole period of 10 years for shooting Constable Patrick, said it was unfortunate for the officers that the offender was neither inexperienced in nor reluctant to resort to the use of firearm. She said Justice Latham then commended the now-retired officer, Mr. Fotopoulos, for saving Constable Patrick's life, wounding Canaan 7 times and arresting another gang member. Constable Fotopoulos, unfortunately, had tested positive for cannabis after the shooting, had left the force as a result of this. But expert testimony at the trial said the amount of cannabis would not have impaired his reactions. Justice Latham found, quote, there was nothing inconsistent with his proper performance as a police officer that night. So there you go. A judge has found that cops can be stoned if they want to be.
And it makes no difference
to them performing perfectly well.
Excellent.
And shooting criminals 7 times, catch another guy and save your partner. I mean, it's like a Superman, mate. This guy is genius. Fotopoulos, Mark, you beauty, mate. What a good cop.
Very good. Hey, there's an important bit with...
John
you missed last Friday. Where were you last Friday?
I was down looking after my dad.
That's right. Last Friday we had the Mardi Gras feedback. How's he going, your dad?
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, while you were checking on your dad...
Not good.
...looking after him, We were at the Bolo, yep, having the Mardi Gras feedback and futures.
Is that like a regurgitation?
In honour particularly of Jungle Patrol.
Yep.
But we sort of threw it open to other people who might want to talk about Mardi Gras. It was terrific. So grateful to everyone who came. I picked the wrong time totally because suddenly music's playing and everyone's eating and everyone's yelling. And so we went outside.
Getting ready for Canberra, as it turned out, wasn't it?
On the smoking veranda. And there was lots happening. Yeah, we were going to Canberra and all that. But a few things came out of it. Everyone very keen for Mardi Gras to continue. And the big thought was we have a week-long sort of Mardi Gras that shows off other event, other cultural, other aspects of our culture and arts and workshops sharing our skills. That was a big idea that was tossed around a bit. And we talked about that while we were away. And the week before Mardi Gras next year is the market, a fifth Sunday, and sort of the few weeks before that is the art exhibition in the town hall, and we could have almost a cultural month, I thought, finishing off with the Mardi Gras weekend. Move the picker's ball back to the previous Saturday night. You put on a play, maybe cannabis related, for a few nights.
Not a problem.
We have a movie cannabis thing happening.
Movie-making
we have workshops on other things. We have, you know,
signings into the big black book of the
signing,
Church of the Holy Spirit,
Church
and blessings, baptisms and weddings.
All that sort of stuff. Anyway, and we broaden the aspects of the Nimbin culture so it's not a jam-packed cannabis weekend. And wonder what everyone thinks. Get back to us, give us notes, and we're going to meet the first Tuesday of the month, I think. Maybe down at the Bolo next time again, although it could be a different venue. I think not June, but July, in the first meeting. So anyway, get in touch. Anyone who wants to come, please come. And I'll put a notice on the window saying when the meeting is and where. But I think we'll have a monthly meeting for Mardi Gras through this year, and it's going to be a different event next year. Thank you to the police for getting us off our butts.
Yeah, I think that it's a little bit...
Thought about it at all.
Me, no.
You've only given us 10 seconds,
yeah,
while you're looking at other tapes. Don't you dare comment yet.
I think it's a little mean to try to expect the police to find the resources for that kind of protection that they have vowed to always give us for an entire month, Michael. They were stretched to do a bloody weekend.
6 horses over a month, though. They don't have to ship them up and down twice.
I guess
we'll give them a paddock. You can have your Hemp Olympics horse racing. Mate, we'll have a Gymkhana by the end of a month.
If we could get them, if we could be a bit more in control of the speed with which they move, like if we get them to sort of trot through town, single file.
Some of them are trotting along that back alleyway, I mean, not the alleyway, the back car park. Diana's got some great shots, mate. There were 10 of them, and I'm trying to make a quick trip down to the back end of town to sort of appear surprisingly at the other end.
It's where they go
and really,
fool
really
people.
Nice,
but they're really
dress
trotting.
Up as centurions.
No, I just think we all wear blue overalls.
They'd look so good. They would look
other
so
polite.
Good.
Centurions in the little skirts.
In the little
that
skirts.
That would look
that
wicked.
That would be fantastic. Oh. On those Braveheart horses with those...
No.
What do you call
no
those
horses.
Things that the
no,
Arab
no, no.
women wear? Make them look through flywire? Shadiris? What do they call those?
Oh, yeah, the visor. A visor.
Window.
A visor.
The horses had them on.
Yeah, all of them had
them on. They were Arab horses.
Chaldiri.
I think it's a great concept. Yeah. I reckon we ride with it.
What's they called?
What?
What are the gear all the women wear that you're not allowed to show in your body and they look through a little window?
A chador. Chador.
Burka.
Chador.
No,
burka is one, but chador is the other one. Chador.
Well, they were clearly Muslim horses. They were, fully, mate.
Anyway, I think that you're really going to be stretching police resources. It'll mean a crime wave over the rest of the state.
See,
I think it's most irresponsible.
I'd like the federal police that we met at Canberra to come up and be the police force for Mardi Gras.
They are so useless.
They're still going to do their job, Gary.
Yeah, but part of their job...
How many times you ask them if you can smoke a joint in front of them? Thanks very much. They're still going to do their job.
I didn't ask them if I could smoke a joint.
No, that was French. Le French.
Yeah. I just skinned up in front of him. Not even a problem. He said it's like tomatoes.
He said that.
Yeah. It's like tomatoes.
He just lost his job. They're listening now.
I know they are.
Like tomatoes
listening.
Or tobacco.
Just like
right?
Jack
you've
lost her job.
Tobacco there, you can't smoke in the smoking areas. That's breaking the rules, but you can smoke where you can. That's cruel. They don't want to look at what sort of tobacco, whether it's, you know. Tomatoes, you can take tomatoes there, as we did, but you can't take tomatoes there for our politicians. But that's how they thought about cannabis. They weren't going to bust us for smoking pot. No way.
A shit.
It was just, their attitude wasn't that, and we got straight through into the heart of them, I found. I mean, the bridges we built with police there, just because the whole cannabis thing wasn't an issue, you know? It just wasn't an issue.
If we can find his lost sister, the whole thing is finished perfectly.
If you can find his sister, and it's all sweet, you've got to find her name. We've got to find her. It could be the beginning of the most enormous bridges built between us and the AFP. Because I tell you what, they're pretty low in my estimation right now, the AFP. They're a corrupt bunch of criminals.
Yeah.
They're not even good crooks.
These are just bike riders who work for him. He's a family man. He told me the biggest drama in Canada, the thing I remember most from that guy, is in Canberra, where people are clearly rich, two people working big-time government jobs, childcare, $250 a week for a child. It's all owned by one company, the ABC guy, who pays low wages, and you can't get childcare. It's just full up. You can't get it. So, you know, people have got mortgages.
If you do, it's costing you $500 a week. One of your wages.
For two kids.
For the two kids.
And they're all anti-war, too. Do you want to start talking about the war thing? That was...
Whoa.
You know, they were on our side. They didn't
know what they were going on. They don't like war.
Is this the Canberra kids?
And the federal police.
They still took,
is that right?
Still took the tent off Aragon.
And well, they have to keep their job. We're just doing our job.
Lucky you guys were there with the arse end of a joint to pass over to him.
The Canberra council, who own that part of the Parliament House, the precinct thing, because he was on the council's land, not in the AAA area, because he was down there, the council was ringing them up every so often saying, shift him on, or otherwise you'd have to pay them a fine.
Anyway, we left the roach of the joint. He is now sleeping in the end of the joint, which isn't fixed into the ground like a tent. And it's not a tent. And we hope that the roach lasts forever down there in our anti-war protest. I feel really good about leaving him the roach.
It's to be his symbolic jail, which he's... Because we said, why don't you get yourself a cardboard box, mate, and walk around with that, you know, like jail cell, so that you're inside the box, Hicks is inside the box, etc. So he didn't. It was too hard to get a box, he thought, because there was no cardboard box anywhere.
No, he's got his mate to look out for a fridge box.
So in the meantime, the bits of poly pipe and the stakes would be turned into like he's going to make himself a little jailhouse to do his Hicks protest.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. So it's not attached to the ground?
Oh, no. Well, no. He's
if a wind comes, it might roll along a bit, but he'll roll with it, I reckon.
I wish we had a
and he's got a
wheels.
Dog with him, it'll all roll along.
No, he set it up. No, you can see it as we drive out. He set it up vertically.
Did he? Like he's a chimney?
Oh, how clever.
He's sitting in the tube. So during the day, he whips the tarp off it, and he's in a jail. He's in a little round cell.
Oh, that's nice. That's very, very clever.
It's very good. And it means he can sort of lean back against it a bit and support himself too, and it's good. It's good. It works.
Well, and he leaned on us for inspiration and advice about political demonstration a lot.
Well, you'll see him in Nimbin, I reckon.
Yeah, yeah, he'll be along.
Yeah, great.
Part of the trial.
So you think you really aided and abetted his little vigil outside the park?
Let's
hope so.
Let's
hope
so.
Comfort. We gave him some comfort.
Yeah.
It's 25 to 2 here, by the way. This is the Hem Show. This is NIMFM 102.3.
And I'm
bigjoin.org. We didn't even talk about the website.
Goddess, sorry. The Goddess and Michael. Max Stone and Bob. We're all here with you.
We're all fading. We haven't slept for days.
We're sponsored by the wonderful Hemp Embassy up the town in Main Street, Nimbin, where you can buy just about anything to do with cannabis, can't you? Except cannabis itself.
Yeah.
Isn't that weird?
To those guys in the shop for
tell us about the website thing.
I was just going to thank the shop again for doing all the work with selling the candles and the incense to get the money, to get the petrol, to get
good
the whole thing together.
Good on you.
Like, you know, we remembered you all down there and said your name.
All the volunteers in the Hemp Bar and the Hemp Embassy.
Yeah.
It was
interesting who came to the Mardi Gras meeting. Jungle Patrol, heavily invested in the meeting. They were there. Hemp Embassy, virtually everyone there. Hardcore people. So if you're really interested in Mardi Gras, do come next month. It's going to be a good 25
people. Oh, good and the hemp party was outside, out in the street today too.
Hemp party?
The hemp party. I got a phone call saying the hemp party is outside the
Herbal
Highs.
Members.
Herbal Highs, yeah.
Beautiful.
Up there, so...
If you haven't joined, please, if you're registered to vote in New South Wales, go and join
the
outside Herbal Highs, where the hemp party are taking new members. It's urgent, no cost. No drama.
Get up there now.
When the government rings up and says, are you a member of the hemp party, don't be afraid.
Just say, yes, I am.
Say,
come and
yes,
get me.
Yes, I am.
Be honest with them. Drug educators are saying the same thing about kids too.
Yeah.
That if you lie to them about shit, they're going to think that everything you say, like it's the old boy cries wolf syndrome, rearing its ugly head, because a drug educator should be realistic, according to Associate Professor Richard Midford. Right, who's giving the keynote address at the International Conference on Drugs and Young People in Sydney this week.
What's he saying?
He argues that the federal government's drug education policy for schools is in drastic need of reform.
Yeah. What should it say?
He says they really are very much taking the moral stance and saying it's a bad thing to do, and that we should be giving a clear just say no message, Professor Mitford said. That's a nice slogan to have, and I don't think anyone would disagree with it, but drug education has to be so much more than simply not having drugs in schools. They, that's young people, can see them, that's drugs, as glamorous and risky and exciting, and they've got to really have the skills to be able to deal with these sorts of issues, said Professor Mitford. Professor Mitford from the National Drug and Research Institute in Perth said just under 50% of young people had tried cannabis by the time they reached 17 years old, while most had experimented with alcohol before leaving high school.
Yeah.
You can't get an expert, whether that be a policeman or somebody who has worked in the alcohol and drug area, or even the teachers themselves, you can't get them standing up in front of the class telling them not to do drugs, he said. If you're realistic and acknowledge that these things go on, then you can deal with them. If you do
tell them not to smoke tobacco.
If you do a shock, horror, scare tactic on them, like tobacco, the students, and they've got different information from their own experiences, that it's not that bad, well, they're just going to ignore you and it's going to all become irrelevant. There you go. That's
so what's he want us to do? What's he want people to do?
He wants you to teach kids about drugs, not just say no, teach them about drugs, about the effects of various drugs.
Harm minimisation.
Harm minimisation and education.
Decide whether or not they want to continue with their use as a responsible drug user as opposed to becoming an abuser.
That's right. It's just like the slogan, just say no. If you spell it with a K-N-O-W, instead it says it all.
Yeah.
Knowledge is power. It always has been, it always will be. And the more you know about any given subject and all the various repercussions around it and the reasons why people want you to believe certain things about certain subjects too, you know, like there's all this information out there, but none of it's, or very little of it's very unbiased by an attitude. The person who put the information together put it together for a reason, for an attitude either to encourage you or scare you, and very few put it together purely to state facts. And even their fact-stating exercise is tinted with their own prejudices, even when they're not aware of it.
Yeah, it's in the Bible for that, Bob. Everybody's trying to copy it.
Yeah. Get out there.
Sell them all the time.
Make sure that your Watch Bible's got all the...
Hey, Gary, where can people see the website. Trip to Canberra?
Oh, bigjoint.org.
Bigjoint.org.
How easy is that? Organisation.
Yeah.
I'm still building. I've still got to get some words from Michael and some words from Gerald and... I've already got those. Here's Sam inside the big joint.
Okay, so...
I've got to give you one other clue from the trip. I learned a lot on this trip. If you ever get pulled up without a seatbelt on, what you say is, I'm on my way to commit suicide. How dare you interrupt me? How dare you interrupt me? Anyway, it works.
Speed off.
Unbelievable. One of my other little highlights.
Yeah, okay. Who did that and who said that?
No, we won't.
Anyway, I built the website in real time, starting a couple of weeks before Mardi Gras, ran it live through Mardi Gras, ran streamed live sound and live pictures of building the web during Mardi Gras. Didn't get the live sound streaming and video streaming happening from Parliament House for a reason I want to go into. But
what was the reason? We had power or the right?
The peace bus got... No,
Michael,
the peace
he doesn't want to go into it.
Yeah, no, I want to go into it.
The peace bus was, the peace bus was supplying
the
modem. The
peace
bus turned up at the courthouse an hour late because we jumped off and hit the road so fast. Had we delayed a little bit longer, we'd have had our modem.
Well, mate, you saw everyone was waiting an hour for you. I made everyone wait. They got furious.
I'm waiting for someone else. I'm just waiting for two people.
Is that train came an hour late?
I don't know.
His phone didn't have any batteries in it when the phone. Yeah. We didn't have that there, but it didn't matter. I went to hotel rooms. I updated the website with the wireless connection. Kept it up to date. Worked all night.
He was doing in those hotel rooms?
Oh, we were all in the same hotel room.
Yeah.
What did it smell like, Gerald? Who slept in his own van?
I slept in my van. When I came up in the morning, it smelled like sex.
Okay. Really? Is that right?
It's spelled S-O-C-K-S.
It smelled like...
Combination of smocks and socks.
Fibre breath and sex.
You know, it's remarkable how many people leave their wireless networks unsecured in Canberra. I was able to get signals in lots of places, but not at Parliament House. When I turned my laptop on at Parliament House, I thought I would be jammed with signals.
Yeah.
Nothing.
Really?
Not a whisker.
Locked in, mate. All locked in.
Must be all the odd dumb devices. No way. I thought there would have been all sorts of targeting devices attacking my computer, but nothing. I couldn't get the whisker, nothing I could hack in or crack in, and nothing.
No. That's protection, mate. It's protection. At the wall around, like the electronic wall in the walls of Parliament House, nothing gets out through them.
We cracked it.
But did you try inside the building? Or aren't you
Sam with the critical bit. Sam not where. It's always interesting how little things
do. Are you allowed to carry a laptop into Parliament House?
Yep. And the critical bit is Sam not wearing underpants. That's what it all boiled down to. That was the moment when everything got through.
Is that right?
Yep, absolutely. Everyone knew about it. Everyone got through. We were in. We were the celebrity of the day that no one wanted to talk to.
They were cheering.
Because they immediately right? be... No, all these little black people following us, writing so down. They made him Everyone who talked to us got written down.
So they made Sam drop his strides in the foyer to check that he wasn't wired up for something.
Yeah, they kept saying, metal, 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 undo your zip. Sam goes, I've had enough of this zip, and bang, around his feet, and it's like everyone, step back 10 metres in one step, guns came out, Sam shoots his arm straight to the ceiling, and he's standing there, arms up, pants down, and everyone's going, and he says, well, what do you want me to do?
And he had the
and they go, in there, pull your pants up.
He had the biggest Glock in the place, I reckon.
He did. He glocked him.
A huge Glock.
He out-glocked him. It was the highlight of the year.
Okay, so there you go. So you take the big joint to Canberra, and all you get is Sam dropping his strides in Parliament House.
Soft porn.
French soft porn, not hard porn at all.
Yeah, it was nice and soft. Yeah, there was no issue about
that. No issue at all.
Anyway, it
made a total ridiculing. It ridiculed the security system.
Excellent.
Finishing up on the big joint, everything, including this radio show, of course, which will be podcast. I'll take a copy of this and stream it from the bigjoint.org. Will stay in the public record. Our protest will stay there for as long as bigjoint.org exists, which will be probably a long time. Yeah, no. This Mardi Gras has it's got its own website.
Not according to
the little patches of dead grass might stay there a while too.
Yeah, they might. Let's hope so.
Our record of what we did will stay up there.
If nothing else, Michael.
No, we move forward.
If nothing else, you'll see the little spots where the gardeners dug the dead grass out.
They will stay.
Little squares and fresh sod planted.
A beautiful peace sign. You get a beautiful piece of
machine. Yeah, it'll be good. Yeah. It was good.
That'll be gone straight away. We'll be
back. Do you know one of the other interesting things?
That was quick.
We are back now, sorry about that. You know, it blew me out a bit, the lineup. You talk straight lines, you're right, but they can't think other than straight lines down there. There's the War Memorial, there's Old Parliament House, and then there's the new, then there's us, then there's New Parliament.
Then there's the mountain at the end.
And the big Federation Stone.
And then the mountain at the end with the tower.
Between the War Memorial and Old Parliament House, and completely out of sight, is the Aboriginal Tent Embassy.
Okay,
which seems to have taken over about 10 acres. Piles of wood, old caravans, mattresses, little humpies. And I actually, when you look at it all, you think, that's why they moved. That's why they built a new Parliament House. They could not face or stand their guilt over what they've done.
Exactly.
To the local people.
And
they had to build a whole new place and leave them at the front entrance, which is out of sight.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Exactly, isn't it? I like how it all points back to their huge communication tower on Black Mountain, which lines up perfectly with everything else.
Yeah.
When you go up on Black Mountain, you go up to the top of it, and you look down from the lookout, and it just looks down the big line, and the line goes straight through town and up the other side and out of town again, and all the important things. And I kept on thinking, and it's probably sedition if I even say what I was thinking.
You'll say it quietly.
What a great missile track.
I bet it was.
Just down the middle of town.
And the amazing flagpole, which is 83 metres high on top of Parliament House. It's like, if you ever wanted a target, bang, you just whack straight on top of there. Anyway,
Griffin's got a lot to answer for.
Hey, at night, Bob, you're in that Black Mountain Tower.
Yeah.
A big eye sort of appears on it and it really looks, get the whole mortar thing happening. Because that's really mortar architecture, and that was another thing we noticed.
It was, wasn't it? It was very
mortar. That entire mountain, you know, is hollow.
Oh, yeah.
That entire mountain, I worked very briefly on that complex when they're constructing it, the big Black Mountain Communications Complex. It's where every bit of information in the entire country gets funneled in through to our parliamentary ears and eyes, and all their secret stuff goes out again.
Were you in charge of the concrete trucks?
No, I was in charge of the tar. Briefly. And it was a failure too. Apparently they had to dig it up afterwards and do it again.
No, good on you.
I wasn't involved then.
No, it's a ground.
It was radiation sealing. We had to lay down a bed of tar over the whole ground level flat roof, which end up was going to become a like a concrete flat area, I guess, with seats.
Bunker.
A giant bunker. And so this is up above the bunker, and they wanted the whole thing shielded from all external radiation.
Okay.
And our job was to first lay down this, like, 4-inch thick bed of tar over the whole, over concrete slabs.
Yeah.
And then on top of that went this stuff. It's almost like coke, only they manufactured these big blocks, like the size of...
No, like
coke that you burn in the old ovens, like coal that's been all dried out there.
Forgotten.
High carbon content. And in fact, they're just slabs of coke. They're squares, like the size of a fiberglass bat for your roof.
Right.
Okay, and then you lay them down, embed them deeply in the tar, and then you pour another 4-inch layer of tar over the top of that. So you've got this layer of porous carbon that absorbs all this radiation that goes through. It's like a big radiation filter.
They would have got the idea from the biscuits they had.
And then on top of that whole thing, they poured exposed aggregate concrete 4 inches thick or 6 inches thick. And it was only after that they discovered that somewhere in our tar there was a leak.
We heard about the concrete scam. Apparently thousands of concrete trucks came in with their load of concrete. They dump out a little bit.
When they were pouring.
And then they go out and flog the rest of it to other side.
They didn't
dump out
anything.
They didn't dump out anything. Through the entrance and out the exit.
Out the outside.
And went and sold it somewhere else.
Yeah, right. No idea.
50,000 truckloads of concrete, taxpayers.
Built half
of
Canberra.
Some of those
huge multi high-rise buildings, they're built totally stolen concrete from Black Mountain.
And apparently that's where the whole idea started of putting, you know, your whole backyard was going to be concrete with one circle for lemon trees. Yeah. It was the Greek guys.
That's right.
The whole they did miniature backyards with circles and lemon trees.
So Black Mountain's all tied in very neatly and tightly with the entire infrastructure and architecture of Canberra. It's all direct line of sight between the powers that be that run everything and the information coming in.
And it's called Black Mountain?
Of course it's called Black Mountain. I mean, everyone who works there are pretty nasty people. Black-hearted people. All right, we've got about 11, 12 minutes to go. I should play a song and we'll come back.
And we've got a little bit of other drug news, haven't we? There's been a big local bust, I heard.
Yeah, we'll come back to that directly after this song.
I'm John, back in the museum with the 6 grams.
Yeah, okay.
Good deal. Good. Go, cops.
No, that wasn't the one. No, we're talking about the big zillion-dollar bust. We'll come back to that in a second.
Something happening here. What it is ain't exactly clear. There's a man with a gun over there telling me I got to beware. I think it's time we stop, children. What's that sound? Everybody look what's going down.
Did you see this story in the Telegraph?
What's that?
Joker, the good old Joker's put this in the book. Up to 18,000 Australians will be denied welfare payments for 8 weeks every year, forcing them to live off their wits or resort to charity under welfare changes that come into effect in 5 weeks' time.
4 weeks.
4 weeks. Scenarios are old new government policy. 18,000 lose their welfare benefits for 8 weeks every year under the tough new rules. At present, people who reject reasonable jobs or fail to turn up to interviews lose part of their benefits for a period. But from July 1, they'll lose all of their benefits for 8 weeks. The government says the vulnerable, such as mothers supporting children and people who need essential medication, will get financial help.
Another one.
A church group will be given a $650 payment to case manage these people and buy them food and other necessities.
Lies.
What if you pay rent?
Lies.
What if you pay rent?
Lies.
What if you pay rent and you got to move out in the street?
It's all fucking
How
lies.
How dare man. These... I tell you, we in Canberra is so stinking rich.
I know.
These bloody
know.
Chauffeurs pardon. Sitting in their cars watching TV.
I know. Mm. And you know, the federal government's going to spend $9 million over the next 6 weeks marketing how it's good for you to get kicked off for 8 weeks. How it's good for you to not be able to feed your kids. $9 million. That's $200,000 a week they're spending, Michael. A day. $200,000 a day. Meanwhile, the Prime Minister goes on these incredible jaunts around the world with his missus. Jesus, say something, quick.
The ACCC also, I'm looking at Mr. Lane, the grazier guy. The station is listed for sale for $3 million. Question Miss Lane about distribution of more than 1,000 pounds of marijuana at Bulwarra Station in 2003, 2 years before...
Is this the one that just got busted now?
Yeah.
Okay.
During that year, documents show Mr. Lane discovered an income of nil. He was also questioned about allegedly giving cash to a Serbian to buy marijuana seeds. The informant claimed they received, the informant, the dobber, said $30,000 he got to go to Holland and buy seeds. The seeds were then allegedly smuggled into Australia down the pants of the mules. The informants claimed some of the plantation workers were paid a fortnightly wage of $3,000, with others reaping up to $110,000 from one crop. Many of them were allegedly recruited in New South Wales by a Serbian man now believed to be in Europe, targeting people who need the money. Mr. Lane,
they're
did
always
not be
good
contacted
to target,
for comment last night, was arrested earlier this month over alleged $250 drug deal in Cairns. It was alleged Mr. Lane had supplied another man with 1,700 pseudoephedrine-based tablets. Greed.
I did that story earlier.
Yeah, I know, but you didn't do those bits.
I did.
Those bits were...
Oh, well, maybe not those.
No, you didn't. Those bits were interesting to me and maybe some other people.
Is that right? I actually cut those bits out because I found them boring to me and I thought our listeners would too. So there you go. We have different tastes.
I like the details.
We have different tastes.
Yeah, £1,000 deal. Mate, yeah. That's fairly significant.
You might think so. Chicken feed, mate. It's about time we pissed off, Michael. Look at that.
Here, what's all this stuff?
What's that? Oh, that's our week's... It's your folder.
Is this the news and you've done it?
No, it's your folder. It's old news.
Okay.
You've been home with me for a few weeks. It just got lonely.
Well done.
And thanks
to Mac for getting it all together.
Yeah, thanks, Mac. You do a fantastic job there at the Hemp Embassy, my friend. As does everybody, all the people who work up there and staff and the Hemp Embassy.
Next Mardi Gras meeting, we're going to let Mac get the first meal.
Oh, by the way, I'd like to just give you a bit of advice, Michael. When you guys go off on these jaunts, do you reckon you could keep in contact a bit better?
We couldn't work the mobile phones properly. I found them.
I heard the story about how someone got a phone call from you, wrong number, and all I could hear in the background was you and Gerald. So how do you work this thing? Who have we got here?
I absolutely was unable to work them. Anyway, I did work them at a few critical moments. And we could have kept...
So you were supposed to look up the website or ring us.
You could have rung us.
On what? I don't know how to ring a mobile phone. I don't know how to ring a mobile phone.
There you go, see?
How could I ring you?
Anyway...
You're on a mobile.
I really don't think we made much difference.
I didn't ever think you would, but there you go. You had fun. Hey.
Anyway, I'm going religious.
Let's be honest, Michael. Kerry Nettle had a great time.
Kerry Nettle's very nice.
She had a great time, didn't she?
Cool. She did have a good time.
Thanks to you guys. She was inducted into the faith of Catholicism.
And I think it is the way to go. And I think if you get a few thousand people, you are officially a church and you get all sorts of advantages. And, mate, we are going to then stand up in court and say, this is religious. And then it's a whole new ball game.
They won't believe you. They'll change the law to make it not religious.
Well, then we've got to be prepared to go to jail. I'm ready.
Are you? I'm not.
Just for smoking.
I'm not going to go to jail for fucking smoking.
I don't think they're going to put us in jail.
Better bloody not. You know, that's not against the law to smoke.
It's not. You still...
It's against the law to be in possession of the drug. It's not against the law to be stoned or to smoke it.
Are you sure about that?
Yeah, that's what the cop told me on the weekend.
Okay, that's interesting.
But possession, I mean, just holding a joint's in possession.
So if the cops come along,
if someone else was holding the joint, or if you had a joint set up in something that no one owned, and you could sort of put your lips to it.
Now, if you're fully inhaled and thrown away the roach, and when they come along, all you do is exhale, they can't bust you.
No, they can't. There's no law that says... I mean, you think of all the charges. What do you get charged with? You get possession... Cultivation?
You
get charged with possession, cultivation.
It makes me furious.
But have you ever heard of anyone being charged with smoking? Ever?
Use a prohibited substance, yes.
I don't think so. Possess
and use a prohibited substance.
Always with the possession.
You know what Laurie Ferguson wanted? He wanted to argue whether the pharmaceuticals really had any interest in keeping cannabis and opium and cocaine illegal and had they anything to do with it. And it's like, I thought, which party are you in, mate? Which part of this don't you get?
All of it.
Anyway, he didn't want to talk
about
it.
He's thick.
Yeah, I thought so too. They're all thick, mate. What do you call it when people get just a, you know, they're living in the bakery? what do you call it? Just such a comfort ride, such a cruise.
What do you call it?
What a, you know, what do you do? Is a few years in the
that's
union,
who lives in the
and
bakery.
Then he got elected.
That's who
and
lives.
And now he's there forever, being pally.
Yeah.
With all the other dwarves.
That's who lives in the bakery. Weevils. That's where they live. It's a natural habitat. The bakery.
I know what it's called. It's called a government junket.
No, yeah, well, I hate weevils in my junket. We're out of here. We'll be back next
week.
See
you guys, lovely to be here. Be here next week. Great. There was a big Kyogle bust in today's paper. Probably didn't read it. $2.5 million. And the guy, he had 3,000 plants? Did I make that up? Oh, I mixed
I
up with the Queensland
one.
But he had 14 kilos, 1,400 plants. And unfortunately, at the same time, they busted him with sort of a big stash of dope up the
A gym instructor charged with cultivating cannabis worth $2.85 million yesterday claimed he knew nothing of the massive crop found on his property outside Kyogle. Wayne John Maslin, the franchisee of two Fitness First health clubs on the Gold Coast in Brisbane, was appearing in Lismore local court, clean-shaven, wearing open-neck black shirt under a black suit jacket. Maslin blew a single kiss to four female supporters in the public gallery. Oh, what a gentleman. His solicitor, Peter O'Connor, told the court his 46-year-old client did not know anything about the 1,400 mature cannabis plants and 14 kilograms of dried cannabis uncovered by police during a raid on his property last year. Maslin did not enter a plea to the charges, but he was successful with a request for bail, which was set at $60,000. He was also ordered to surrender his passport, report to the cops daily, not approach within 5K of any international point of departure. That's
Did you read
Coast.
About the bust up the Gold Coast? Same month, same time.
Maslin was extradited from Queensland to Lismore on Wednesday and was arrested over a drug haul in February last year on his property in Treefern Road, Lodestone, near Kyogle. The haul is is that the same one?
He was also busted up the Gold Coast with sort of 9 kilos or something.
Okay. He said he had no knowledge. He's completely innocent of all charges. He had cattle on the property, was an occasional visitor. Mr. said the prosecution
they're waiting
case
for
extremely
DNA
strong.
Tests. We heard on the radio they're waiting for
the
DNA.
The police had also collected DNA samples which are still being processed. Imprisonment is likely if he's convicted. Unless his circumstances are extraordinary, bail should be refused, said the prosecutor. Mr. Ducasse said although police raided the property in February last year, they had been unable to extradite Maslin from Queensland until now as he had been on bail. He was on bail and convicted in the Supreme Court in Queensland on May the 29th for possessing 9.3 kilos of cannabis, which was found at his Gold Coast home in February last year, and he was given a 12-month suspended sentence for 9 kilos of cannabis.
Do you reckon the DNA testing is a hair they found in the crop, or are they matching the crop with the Gold Coast?
I think they're doing both. I think they're probably matching the crop with what they found on him at the Gold Coast, and they've probably found some stuff out there that they've scraped DNA off.
Greedy,
like
greedy, by on making gyms.
Yes. Anyway, 12-month suspended sentence for 9.3 kilos. That's pretty good going. All right, I think we better leave it at that. What do you reckon, Michael?
That's it. Where's JB?
Oh, here we're coming. I've seen him around town. He was actually, he might be a tad late. He was doing an interview with his daughter, Jenna, who was filming a video of something to do with school, Indigenous studies, and John was doing some stuff for us. So he might be a little tad late. That's okay. We'll put on some Indigenous music after this next one, and you can just rock on until then. See you later.
See you, guys.